जय राधा माधव बिहारी जय राधा माधव पंजाब बिहारी गोपी जाना वाला वरधारी गोपी जाना वाला वरधारी जय राधा जब बिहारी जय राधा जब बिहारी सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा जय बिहारी जय राधा जय बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ वल्लभारी गोपी जन वल्लभ वल्लभारी सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन सोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन जन्म तीरा अनचारी जन्मतीयाचारी जय राधा जबिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ वरधारी गोपी जन वल्लभ वरधारी Sodanandana Braja Janarandana Yamnatiya Anachari Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Radha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan. Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan, Hari Bhagavan. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Prabhujagacharya Jivayam Gishula Abhe Charam Bhakti Nama Swami Prabhupada Maharaj Ki Shri Shri Gonitai Ki Shri Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Shri Shri Jagannath Subhadra Balaram Ki Samkirtan Yajna Ki ISKCON Chicago Yatra Ki All glories to the Samadhuri All glories to the Samadhuri All glories to the Samadhuri I'll go to Sri Guru and Sri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Was it text 4? Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12, text 4. Ya aham yogeshwara deshyamanam kriya palam sa vyavaharam Mulam na yanjasa tatva imarshanaya bhavan amusmin brahmate mano me yadaha yogeshwara drishyamanam Kriya phalam sarvya vahara mulam Nāyanyasa tattva vimarshanya Bhavana musmin brahmate manome Yadaha yogeshwara drishyamanam Kriya phalam sarvya vahara mulam Nanjasa tattva vimarshanaya Bhavanam asmin brahmate manome Yadaha yogeshwara drishyamanam Kriya phalam sarvya vahara mulam Nāyānyasa tattva vimarshanāya Bhavānam asmin brahmate manome Mataji is Yeah, that which Aha have said, Yoga Ishwara, O Master of Mystic Power, Drishyamanam, being clearly seen, Kriyafalam, the results of moving the body here and there, such as feeling fatigue, existing, vyavahara mulam, whose basis is etiquette alone, not he, certainly, anjasa, on the whole or in fact, tattva-imarshanaya, for understanding the truth by consultation, bhava, your good self, amusmin, in that explanation, brahmate, is bewildered, mana, mind, me, my. O Master of Mystic Power, O Master of Yogic Power, you said that fatigue resulting, from moving the body here and there is appreciated by direct perception, but factually there is no fatigue. It simply exists as a matter of formality. With such inquiries and answers, no one can come to the conclusion of the absolute truth. Because of your presentation of this statement, my mind is a little disturbed. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki. Formal inquiries and answers about the bodily conception do not constitute knowledge of the absolute truth. Knowledge of the absolute truth is quite different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasures. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna informs Arjuna that the pains and pleasure experienced in relation to the body are temporary. They come and go. One should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. My class will be a little short today because I have to go. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gunave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavesha Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Sam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Pada Kamlan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajevam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamsa. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Rapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanarishi Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarvyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhai Vacha Paritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yadaha Yogeshwa Drishyamanam, Kriyaphalam Sadhyavahara Moolam, Ahi Anjasatata Vimarshanaya, Bhavan Amasmin Brahmate Manome. So we've been reading this wonderful exchange between Rogana and Jadbharat. And we've read the wonderful story of Jadbharat. Jadbharat, as you know, in his previous birth, was a deer. And prior to deer, he was a king. And he was the oldest of the 100 sons of King Rishabhdev. Rishabhdeva is an incarnation of Godhead. In the scriptures, we read about the genuine avatars of the Lord. Avatar means one who descends from the spiritual world. Now the word avatar has become very famous, thanks to the Hollywood movie called Avatar. You know, the whole world's heard of the word avatar, but very few know the real meaning of avatar. So Rishabhdev is one of the bona fide incarnations of the Lord. And he instructed his 100 sons about the importance of spiritual life. I am Deha Deha Bhajam Niloke. He explains that this human body should not be wasted like the animals. It should be used for self-realization. Actually, he was addressing his 100 sons. And through his sons, and through his sons. And the Vedic custom was that after ruling for some time, the king would retire. Not that you stay on in your position until the end of life. And the Vedic concept of good government is spiritual monarchy. Not just monarchy, but spiritual monarchy, where the monarchs are devotee of the Lord, and who guides the citizens on the path back to Godhead. In fact, Lord Rishabhdev said that one should not become a king or a leader till he can take his dependence back to Godhead. So King Bharat, the oldest of the 100 sons, succeeded his father, and he ruled over the planet in a very exemplary manner. Everyone was happy. Even today, people remember Ram Rajya. Why? Because that was a period associated with immense happiness. And why were the citizens happy? Because the king was guiding them on the spiritual path. When there is spirituality in society, one can experience real happiness. So King Bharat ruled over the planet in a very exemplary manner. As a result, the people were happy. And the whole planet was known as Bharatvarsha. However, King Bharat got attached to a deer when he was in the forest. And then he had to take his birth as a deer. But he didn't stay for long in that body. And he soon took his birth in the family of a Brahmana, where he was known as Jadbharat. The last few chapters, we are reading about the wonderful exchange between Jadbharat and Rogana. Jadbharat was a very exalted personality. He was self-realized from the very beginning. He knew that he made a mistake. By the power of the Lord, by the blessing of the Lord, he could understand that in his previous life he had got attached to a deer, and therefore he resolved not to repeat this mistake. So he was pretending in society as if he was deaf, dumb, and dull. But he wasn't deaf, dumb, and dull. He was acting as deaf, dumb, and dull just because he did not want anyone to distract him from his real mission, which was constant absorption and meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like Gaurakishordas Babaji. Gaurakishordas Babaji, the spiritual master Bhakti Sinanda Ji, used to do his japa inside the public toilet. The toilets are so dirty, and he would do his japa in a toilet so that nobody could come and distract him because it doesn't smell so nice. So Jad Bharat did not want to get distracted. He was deaf, dumb, he was acting to be deaf, dumb, and dull, but in reality, he was fully absorbed in meditation on the Lord and glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his show of deaf and dumb was just to keep everyone away. His father was very attached to him. His father tried to give him Brahminical training, but Jad Bharat did not respond. His father wanted him trained in the Vedas. Internally, Jad Bharat was fully self-realized. And after his father died, his 9 stepbrothers did not really gave him that much attention, and they had him guard a paddy field. You read this very interesting story of how the dacoits kidnapped him. The dacoit chief wanted to have a son, so they were worshipping goddess Kali, and sometimes less intelligent people offer a dull personality, a human being, to goddess Kali also, like we offer fruits and vegetables to the deities. They offer a dull person. And they were offering a dull person, and he ran away. So the dacoit chief sent his assistants to go and look for the dull person. They couldn't find him, they found a replacement, and that was Jad Bharat, who was acting like a deaf, and dull, and dumb person. Jad Bharat was unmoved. He was so absorbed in meditation on the Lord that when they were ready to slaughter him, normally somebody else would have protested and tried to run away. But Jad Bharat just tolerated it. But the Lord cannot tolerate injustice to his devotee. Jad Bharat did not protest. He was, and the dacoits, they bathed him, offered him nice clothes, and as they were about to slaughter him, to offer the blood to goddess Kali to drink. It's horrible, isn't it? The deity burst and the goddess Kali came out. And the same chopper, she slaughtered the dacoits. Amrish Maharaj, what did he say? Sarve mana Krishna padara vilaya. May my mind always be fixed at the lotus feet, my Lord. And the Rasa Muni produced a demon to attack him. He was unmoved, and he was just fixed in his meditation, and he was protected by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. So, Jad Bharat also was protected by the Lord, and the goddess Kali killed the decoys and saved Jad Bharat. So, just to show his exalted character, he was totally absorbed and constantly meditation on the Lord. And Krishna says, Kaunteya Pratijanahi, Neva Me Bhakta Pranashvati. My devotee never perishes. So we have innumerable examples of how the devotees of the Lord were protected by the Lord in extreme conditions. In the seventh canto, you read about the story of Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadeva and Hiranyakashipu. You read how Hiranyakashipu tried his level best to harm Prahlad, but he was unsuccessful. Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna, Rake. Who Krishna wants to protect, no one can annihilate. Who Krishna wants to annihilate, no one can protect. So Jad Bharat was completely protected by the Lord because he was totally absorbed in his meditation on the Lord and his service to the Lord. King Rahugana was also a God-conscious person. As we said earlier, in the Vedic days, all the kings were God-conscious. King Rahugana was headed to hear a discourse by Lord Kapila's ashram. Lord Kapila's ashram is somewhere near Kurukshetra. So he was being carried in a palanquin and taken to the Kapil ashram to hear discourse on spiritual subject matters. And he was being carried by his palanquin carriers. In those days, the royal order would be carried in palanquins, not just anyone. So he was being carried in a palanquin. But the palanquin carriers could not move fast enough. And they needed assistance. And they saw this very healthy, tall, well-built, broad shoulders, long arms, personality, Jad Bharat. And they took him in the team to help carry the king. Unlike the other palanquin carriers, Jad Bharat was very cautious. He would not place his feet on the ground till he saw, at least for the next 3 feet, that there was no living entity on the floor. Whereas the other palanquin carriers, having Sudra mentality, did not really care for that. And as a result, the palanquin became uneven. It became uneven, the palanquin, which greatly angered the king. The king started chastising his palanquin carriers for not moving fast enough, and the palanquin being uneven. Yeah. But the palanquin carrier said, it's not our fault, sir. It is this personality that we have just added to our team that is the cause. And the king, being proud of his position as a king, you know, even though this king was religious and he was headed for a spiritual discourse, he wasn't headed for a sports event he was going to hear his, but he still had the element of passion in him. And when he saw that they were not moving fast enough and the palanquin wasn't being carried properly, he chastised them. So Jad Bharat initially tolerated the chastisement. The king said, you don't know who I am? You're carrying the king. But then when Jadbharat saw that the king was getting too proud of his position, Jadbharat decided to speak. And when he spoke like a lion. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this that a devotee is deaf and dumb when it comes to material conversations, material talk, material exchanges. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, he's like a lion. When it comes to preaching Krishna consciousness, he becomes a lion. Once a devotee asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, how can I be humble and preach at the same time?" Sometimes when you're preaching and doing book distribution, you have to be a little bold and sometimes a little aggressive. Sometimes our book distributors are accused of being a little too aggressive. So she asked Prabhupada, "How can I be humble and preach at the same time?" So Prabhupada said, "Be a lamb at home and a lion outside." So when you're dealing with devotees, etc., be very gentle. But be a lion outside. But when you're preaching, you can be like a lion. But don't be a lion at home and a lamb outside. Many times our devotees are lion at home and lamb outside. So in the case of Jadbharat, what do we see? He was a lamb at home. He was very quiet. But he was acting deaf, dumb, dull. People would chastise him, ridicule him, laugh at him, taunt him, but he was still tolerated. And internally, he was totally absorbed in meditation on the Lord. But now when he saw that King Rahugana needed philosophy, initially he tolerated it. But then he saw that King Rahugana needed enlightenment. He began to speak. And when he spoke like a lion. That made King Rahugana aware that this man is not deaf and dumb as I thought. This man is self-realized. This man knows knowledge, has knowledge. Prabhupada used to say that a person is recognized when he speaks. You know, a person may be very tall, handsome, etc., but when he speaks, you really know how intelligent he is. So when Jadbharat began to speak, King Rahugana realized that he's not deaf, dull, and dumb as he thought of. This man is self-realized. He's just hidden, just like the, his real identity is just being covered. And the king got down from his palanquin and he begged forgiveness. The king said, "I'm not scared of Indra's thunderbolt. I'm not scared of Yamaraja's punishment. But what am I most scared of? Committing a Vaishnava apradha. I have indeed offended you. Please excuse me." So on the spiritual path, one is advised to avoid Vaishnava apradha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining the process of devotional service. And he explained how the living entity, after going through so many births and deaths, receives this knowledge of devotional service. Brahmanda Brahmide Kunamba. Brahmanda Brahmande Kunam Bhagavanajik Guru Krishna Kripa Paya Bhakti Latambi. You get this seed of devotional service after many, many births. In other words, after going through innumerable births and deaths, is he the fortunate soul who understands the importance of devotional service. But this seed of devotional service, Bhakti Lata Beej, will grow only if you water the seed. Is that right? And how do you water the seed? Through the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. We all have experience that when we came to this movement, or when we received knowledge about the importance of devotional service, the seed really began to grow when you chant and hear. And the Sravanam Kirtanam results in the growing of the seed of devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya further advised that one should stay in the association of devotees to keep our devotional service strong. Take away the unwanted weeds as they grow, as we embark on the devotional path. Unwanted weeds also begin to grow. You know, we begin to feel, oh, I'm so proud, I'm so great, I'm such a big man, I'm such a nice devotee. These should be plucked out, otherwise they'll soak away the water. But then he proceeded to explain that one should avoid what? Vaishnava aparad. He explains how this Vaishnava aparad can destroy the beautiful garden of devotional service, just like a mad elephant can destroy a beautiful garden. So King Rahugana, he had transcendental knowledge. He could recognize that Jat Bharat is an exalted personality who he has sarcastically criticized. Jat Bharat was very sarcastic in pointing out that Jat Bharat wasn't doing a job properly. But the king realized he had offended a great Vaishnava. So on the spiritual path, one should be very careful in terms of avoiding Vaishnava aparad. And Lord Chaitanya emphasized the importance of this in the example of his own mother. Lord Chaitanya is described as the most merciful of all incarnations. Namo Mahabhadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayade. He freely distributed this process of love of God. So devotees would often tell him, you're so compassionate and merciful to everyone, but it appears that you're not so merciful to your mother. And the Lord would say, my mother has offended. What was Sachi Mata's offense? Her offense was that within the mind, she had an element of anger against Advaita Acharya. She held him responsible for influencing her older son to leave home. And she even held him responsible for influencing her younger son to take sannyas. And whenever devotees would tell Advaita Acharya, this is what the Lord said, that Sachi Mata has offended you, he would say, how is this possible? She's the mother of the Supreme Lord. How is this ever possible? She can't offend anyone. But then when the Lord was exhibiting his transcendental form, and devotees, including Advaita Acharya, were offering obeisances, Sachi Mata came from behind, took the dust from his feet, and when the Lord saw this, now my mother has atoned. The point is, on the devotional path, one should be very cautious about offending Vaishnavas. And we see this mood exhibited by the sage, the king, Rahugana. So on the devotional path, one should avoid this. One should avoid committing Vaishnavaparadhas. And if one has committed an aparad, one should be bold enough to apologize and not repeat it. It's not that you go on repeating it intentionally. Maybe accidental, but not intentional. So Rahugana surrendered at the feet of Jat Bharat. Tad vidhi pranivatena paripushena sevaya. The scriptures explain one should take guidance from a self-realized soul. The scriptures emphasize that one should take guidance, and Rahugana begged Jat Bharat for guidance. So Jat Bharat
began to give the philosophy. Jad Bharat said that, you said that you're king and I'm your order carrier, palanquin carrier. But tomorrow the situation could turn. I could be king and you could be, he may, and you could be a palanquin carrier. He made him realize that these positions that we have are all temporary. Jad Bharat said, you're fat, you're tired. But Jad Bharat pointed out that the body is different from the soul. You may say, I'm tired. And he pointed out about the spiritual nature of the soul. So Jad Bharat gave the philosophy. Rogana heard the philosophy, the spiritual philosophy. But King Rogana could not fully digest everything. He heard it, but he needed further guidance. So in the opening verses of the 12th chapter, King Rahugana addresses Jad Bharat by saying, I have understood, I have heard your philosophy, but I need further help. Please explain to me further. So that on the spiritual path, we need to hear again and again. We need to hear again and again. And by hearing again and again, only will this knowledge sink. Why don't you take the children outside the class? In the Bhagavatam it is said, Nasna prayeshwa badreshwa nityam bhagavat sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhakti bhavati naisaki. By regularly hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed and loving devotional service gets established. So regular hearing of the Bhagavatam is highly recommended. And if you regularly hear, then what is inauspicious in the heart will get destroyed. So Prabhupada points out in the purport, formal inquiries and answers about the body concept do not constitute knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Knowledge of the Absolute Truth is quite different from the formal understanding of body pains and pleasure. So the body goes through different stages of transformation, and sometimes it may be pain, sometimes it may be pleasure. In the Bhagavad Gita, what Prabhupada quotes in the purport, second chapter, text 14, Krishna says, Matta Sparsha Shakantaya Sitoshna Dukha Dukha Agama Paina Nityatam Titikshra Bharata. He explains how this pleasure and pain may come and go, just like the coming and going of winter and summer seasons. So in other words, today we may feel pain, tomorrow we may feel pleasure. Seasons come and go, isn't it? So similarly, the pleasures and pain come and go. But in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord informs, as Prabhupada says, that the pain and pleasure experienced in relationship with body are temporary. They come and they go. But one should not be disturbed by them, but should tolerate them and continue with spiritual realization. So on the spiritual path, the quality of tolerance is recommended in several verses. In the third canto, you read about the teachings of Lord Kapila. Kapila Deva's mother, Devahuti, knew that her son was an incarnation of Godhead. Lord Brahma had already indicated this to her. And Lord Kapila Dev, and Lord Kapila Dev was asked by his mother. She said that you are my transcendental I, and tell me how can I become free from the cycle of birth and death. And he explained the importance of pure devotional service, explained how this pure devotional service can be obtained by coming and by staying with devotees. And then in response to his mother's inquiry, he explained the qualities of a transcendentalist. And in the famous words, what did he say? Titikshva karunikaha surda sarva dhinam vajata shatava sandha sadva sadhu bhushana. The first quality he mentions is what? Titikshva, to be tolerant. So tolerance is very necessary on the spiritual path. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his followers to write volumes of books, and the literature left behind by the Goswamis is one of the most vast. But he himself left behind only 8 verses identified as the Sikshashtaka. And in the third verse of the Sikshashtaka, what did he say? Chinadapi sunichena. If you want to be in a position that you can chant the holy names all the time, then Lord Chaitanya in this verse encourages us to develop the quality of tolerance. So Prabhupada makes a point in the purport where one should be tolerant on the spiritual path. And on the spiritual path, we have to practice tolerance internally and externally. Internally, the senses are always agitating. The mind is agitating, etc. So not that when the senses and the mind agitate, you just proceed to fulfill their material desires. Tolerate it. Don't we? And then tolerate it, and the strength of tolerate it comes from execution or devotional service. So there is internal tolerance and there is the need for external tolerance. Externally, when you're engaged in serving the Lord, you may have to go face many obstacles. If you look at Prabhupada's life, you see Prabhupada had to face so many obstacles in establishing Krishna consciousness, but he did not get disturbed. On one occasion, Prabhupada had translated the whole Bhagavad Gita. He hand-wrote the whole translation. At that time, Prabhupada didn't have any assistance or any facilities. So he hand-wrote the whole Bhagavad Gita. He was looking for somebody who could finance the publication. He met somebody who gave him some hope that he may finance it. But then when he went back to bring the manuscript from Calcutta to show to this personality, he discovered that the manuscript was sold as old paper. Just imagine, years of effort. But Prabhupada didn't get discouraged. He retranslated the whole Bhagavad Gita. So on the spiritual path, as we can see, we have to face many hurdles, obstacles, etc. But we should be tolerant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started a Sankirtan movement. He sent his devotees house to preach. And one of the teams he made was a team of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna. Kuro Krishna Siksha. Lord Chaitanya told his associates, go house to house and request people, Bolo Krishna. Chant the names of Krishna. Vajra Krishna. Worship Krishna. Kuro Krishna Siksha. And accept the teachings given by Krishna as your life and soul. So with this mandate from Mahaprabhu, Nityananda and Haridas started their preaching program in Navadvip. When they were going house to house, it's not that everybody gave them a royal welcome. Some people, when they went to their homes, received them very warmly. They said, oh, you're so fortunate. These great souls have come to our house to purify. I'm sure the preachers have experience. Sometimes when you visit homes, the local host says, oh, you've come to purify our house, isn't it? And sometimes they say, please come and purify our house. But then some places where they were going, they would say, these are thieves in the garb of saints. They have come to our house to see what do we have, and then come and steal it, plunder it. And when they would say that these are detectives, they would just laugh at them. And some would say, don't open the door, because when we went to their kirtan, Vallabh Chaitanya started his kirtan in Shiva's Angan, only his very confidential devotees were allowed to come in, not everyone. So when we went there to take part in the kirtan, they didn't allow us in, so we won't let them come in. But Nityananda and Haridas would just laugh at them. So, and they, Nityananda and Haridas were being accused that these were detectives coming to see what we have, and then they would plunder. But they tolerated it. They would laugh at it. And then we see the supreme tolerance exemplified in Lord Nityananda's behavior when he was attacked by Jagai and Madai. So the point we are making is that on the spiritual path, we have to practice tolerance. And this tolerance has to be practiced at various levels. Internally, we have to tolerate the senses. The senses are always pushing us towards sense enjoyment. Therefore, in the first verse of the Upadeshramit, Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books. Narottam Das Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and one of his prayers says, when will that day come when I will be able to read the wonderful books of Rupa Goswami? Rupa Raghunatha Pade Kaibe Akuti. So, Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books, but Prabhupada translated two of them, which are the Upadeshramrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In the first verse of the Upadeshramrita, what does it say? Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. So we have to tolerate these different urges or pushings. And where do you get the strength to tolerate? By practicing devotional service. And we hear the word tolerance, we hear about tolerating insults, tolerating difficulties, tolerating challenges. In many parts of the world, the challenges are so intense. America is blessed in many respects. You don't have so many restrictions when it comes to religion. But in many parts of the world, there are so many restrictions. You know, in some places, you virtually have to clap and whisper the Hare Krishna mantra and kirtan. But devotees are tolerating it, and they're determined to push on Krishna consciousness. So the strength to practice tolerance comes from the attentive execution of devotional service. Chanting arounds is very, the most important business. The different stages of chanting the rounds. Chanting is beneficial in any situation. Even if somebody sarcastically utters the word Hare Krishna. In 1972, after Prabhupada first went to India with his Western disciples, nearly 100 devotees had gone with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada did public pandals in big cities of India. And these pandals were very popular. Over 30,000 people were coming to these pandals. So at that time, a movie producer in India, you know, got influenced by the success of the Hare Krishna movement. And he made a movie called Hare Rama Hare Krishna. And in the movie, he completely misrepresented the philosophy We didn't see the movie, but we've been told that it shows that people take drugs, feel high, and then they get in the mood of chanting Hare Krishna. But the good thing in the well, the good thing in the movie was, the whole movie, the Hare Krishna mantra was in the background. So I went to Prabhupada and said, this movie is going to completely spoil our image, Prabhupada, in India, because it shows that devotees take drugs and then they feel high and chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada was totally undisturbed. He said, no, nothing will be lost. People will hear the holy name and benefit. So the point is, the holy name is beneficial in any situation, you know. But as devotees who want to make spiritual advancement, who want to develop the 26 qualities of a devotee, which includes tolerance, we need to very attentively concentrate on our chanting. And the more attentively we chant and Nasta Prasya Padesha read these books, that will equip us with transcendental strength. And with this transcendental strength, you can practice tolerance. To practice tolerance, we need spiritual strength. And spiritual strength comes from Shravanam, Kirtanam, and then Vishnu Smaranam. So one who has transcendental knowledge, he understands the difference between the body and the soul. He understands that the body goes through different stages of transformation. He understands that the bodily pains and pleasure is there, but this is very different from the real self. And the real duty of everyone is to engage in devotional service. Therefore, a devotee does not wish to waste even a second. Chanakya Pandit said, a minute lost cannot be made up with the wealth of the entire world. Therefore, a devotee doesn't want to engage in idle activities. He wants to use every second in service of the Lord. Rupa Goswami in Upadeshrama tells us how our devotional service can be enhanced and how it can be, in fact, ruined. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha jan sangascha lolyamcha sadvir bhaktir vinashati. In this verse, Rupa Goswami tells us how our devotional service can be ruined. We are so fortunate that Vyasadeva and his representatives have done all the research that needs to be done for us to progress spiritually. We don't need to do any research. You know, once we were talking with Prabhupada and we proposed we should have a Vedic research institute, because in India the taxation laws are such, if you have some taxation, if you have a research-oriented project, you get 100% tax exemption. So we proposed to Prabhupada, maybe we should have a Vedic research institute in Bombay. Prabhupada said, why research? All the research is already done by Vyasadeva. So the Vyasadeva and his devotees, they've done all the research and they've given us a summary. We don't need to debate it, we don't need to question it, we don't need to challenge it. We should just accept it with faith. So Rupa Goswami tells us how our devotional service can be ruined. And then he gives us advice how it can be enhanced. Utsahan nishad dharya tat tat karma pravartana sangatyage sata vrede sadvir bhakti prasidati. So we should just take advantage of the knowledge that is there in these scriptures. So to summarize, King Rahugana is begging Jad Bharat for further guidance. He says, I've heard what he said, I've understood it, but I want to understand it more deeply. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita we see Arjuna constantly asking questions to Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj constantly asking questions to Shukadeva Goswami. So it's not unnatural to ask questions, rather, as Prabhupada used to say, asking questions is a sign of intelligence. But ask questions to the qualified sources. And if you ask questions to the right source, then you can get the right answer. And King Rahugana is requesting Jadbharat to further enlighten him on the philosophy that he has already spoken. And it is pointed out that absolute knowledge of the absolute knowledge is different from the formal understanding of bodily pains and pleasure. The body will go through pains and pleasures, but we should not be affected. Sometimes when devotees are suffering, naturally it's a little painful. But we should still go on with our devotional efforts. And the strength to go on with our devotional efforts comes from chanting and hearing. Chanting and hearing, Sharanam Kirtanam, includes not only chanting and hearing of the holy name, which is most important, but also reading Prabhupada's books. Prabhupada said, when Krishna sees that we are reading his books, he is very pleased. Krishna says, here is someone trying to understand me. Let me give him the understanding by which he can come to me. So reading is also part of Shravanam Kirtanam. And the more intensively we involve ourselves with this, the greater will be our ability to practice tolerance and develop determination, and the faster will be the elimination of the anarthas. The anartha nivritti takes place by the execution of bhajana kriya. And bhajana kriya means following the process of sadhana bhakti and indulging in chanting, hearing, etc. So fortunately, we have all the emanation we need to fight Maya. We just need to use this emanation to make spiritual advancement. That's why Prabhupada encouraged us to attend the Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada, when he opened the first temple in New York, he hand-wrote, every devotee must attend morning class, Bhagavatam, evening Gita class. And in the daytime so, Prabhupada said, this is a devotional sandwich. You hear the Bhagavatam in the morning, Gita in the evening, and then engage in service during the day. And if we do that, that will equip us to be enthusiastic in our devotional service and equip us to fight with Maya. And in the association of devotees, this can be done more easily. Therefore, we should look forward to devotee association. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? No questions? Oh, I wasn't sure if we were asking a question or relaxing.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Maharaj, for your class. We understand that attachment to devotees association is very important, because if we'll be attached to something, so we have to be attached to devotees instead of other association. How do we do that and also avoid material conception of devotees?
Material?
Conception.
Of what?
Of the devotees.
Could you please repeat your question?
Yes, Maharaj. It's a little... The tendency when there's a material attachment to something is to have a material conception of the thing, because that's the nature of the relationship, I guess. So someone is transferring his material attachment from Jana Sangha to Devotee Sangha. What's the essential advice for him to not commit offenses in that association?
That's a positive thing. We need attachment. We know we need association. When we were in school, we learned one thing. Man is a social animal. So you need some association. So the spiritual advice is stay in the association of devotees. And Lord Kapila Dev explains, attachment to the transcendentalist opens the doors to liberation. So the question is, and look into, in order for devotee relationships to develop, humility is a good guiding principle. Because generally, everybody tries to show off in material life. I'm better than you. I'm more successful than you. But on the spiritual path, Lord Chaitanya advises us to be more humble than a blade of grass. And one positive activity is look at the good in everyone. Try to encourage everyone. And not that you constantly want to show off how you're better off than him. So be humble, offer respects to everyone, and look at the good in everyone, and try to encourage everyone. Of course, sometimes you need to correct devotees and help devotees develop their skills, but look at the good in everyone. Is that okay? Sometimes what happens, there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. So sometimes when we are outside, we have high regards for devotees. But then when we get closer and go inside, we see, oh, I thought this man was a saint. Well, now I see he has this weakness. And we tend to contemplate on the weaknesses and say, and then by contemplating on the negative side and not on the positive, we just go away from devotee association, isn't it? So look at the good in everyone and be respectful to everyone. Any more questions? Yes.
Maharaj, I read a Prabhupada Lilamrita and I read about you that how. So my question is, when you met Prabhupada, at that time you were in Canada or in USA, and at that time you were a student or you were working at that time?
It's not a question for a Bhagavatam class, I'm surprised. I met Prabhupada in Canada. I went to ISKCON in 67. That's not a philosophical question. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for the wonderful class and the wonderful answer to Prabhu's question. In continuation to that question, I have one more question. Sometimes in the devotee association, because of our own anarthas, we see faults in others. And those faults overwhelm us so much that it becomes suffocating in that particular association. So is it a good idea to change the association, not going outside the devotees, but the particular person with whom you are associating, accept that because of my anarthas, I can't associate with him, I'm seeing too many faults, there's too much dust or contamination in my own mind. Let me change my association and associate with other devotees and try from there, that point on.
You could do that. Sometimes if a devotee wasn't happy in one temple, Prabhupada would send him to another temple. You could do that. Suppose you are with group A and you find that group A has too many faults, you could try group B. But if you have a deep-rooted tendency to fault find, then even when you go to group B, that same result may happen. If in group A was more faulty, then you may do better with group B. But if in group A, in your dealing with group A, you are more at fault, then the same tendency will repeat itself. You could tie two or three groups and have the same effect everywhere. Then you'll say, ah, the fault is in me. The best is to think that you're the cause rather than others are the cause. Generally, a devotee blames himself. You know. Any other questions? Yes.
Hey, Maharaj, thank you. You're saying that the good thing is to look at the good things in the person, not like what they say, like the black, the spots in the moon. Like, don't look at their bad quality, but at the good qualities. Now, in the same time, they say that if you associate, like, one rotten apple can
spoil other apples.
Damage another one. And there is, a lot of devotees, I'm from the Alacho community, which is a large community, and I'm thinking about the youth with a lot of good qualities, but at the same time, somehow or another, they are kind of, you see the good quality, the Vaishnava quality, but at the same time, they're very influenced by material consciousness. And so I'm trying to figure out how can we, people might think that if you associate, if you get close to people like that, you might develop, or sometimes they just discriminate them because they have bad qualities, but at the same time they have good heart or the good intentions. So how can we help, those devotees like that?
So what's you're saying that some devotees have bad qualities or good heart?
Yes.
They have bad qualities but good heart. Our heart may be good. See, everyone in the material world likes to think my heart is good, pure, sincere. But we have to act properly also. It's not that my behavior is not proper, if my following of principles is not proper, but I just satisfy myself by saying, my heart is good. External manifestation is less important. Sometimes when you tell devotees to put tilak and, follow the... you don't need to show all this, it's in the heart. So what's in the heart should also manifest itself in your behavior. Just to say that my heart is good, but my external manifestation is not so good, will not suffice. Did I answer your question?
Okay.
Any more questions? Okay. Thank you very much.